test your mic.
Hi, Black Tie. Yep. How are you? It's good to hear from you.
Awesome.
I did my English accent to sort of try and get that started up before I get going. Sound good today?
Yep.
People still going to think I'm from the UK?
Apparently. Hopefully good they'll buy your bit for another
couple
Dave.
Of days.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the latest episode of the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/shek. Thanks to everybody who's been checking out the podcast of late. By the way, the numbers are off the charts. We're really pleased with that. Thanks in part to the fine guests that we've had lately. We had Drew Brees last week and E.J. Manuel, two ends of the quarterbacking spectrum, in age at least. I'm not saying in terms of quality, but I do want to talk about quality and quarterbacks and all that stuff as it gets rolling here. Now that we're on the other side of Memorial Day at the time of this recording, we are now 100 days away from the kickoff. So by the time you're listening to this, there's a good chance we're even closer to kickoff. In fact, by definition, if you're listening right now, you're closer to the start of the NFL season than we in Studio 6 are right now at the time of this recording. My head's spinning with the space-time continuum because, in part, I saw X-Men this weekend, and there's a lot of that time travel jazz, and it gets your brain spinning in crazy directions. Let's talk about football and maybe some X-Men. Who knows if we'll get into it. Oh, by the way, we are going to be talking with Pierre Garçon in a little bit. I wonder if I say that right, Pierre Garçon. Garçon. We'll ask him that among some other things. But right now, let's say hello to the man seated to my immediate right here. It's Adam Rank. What's a poop fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Certainly, certainly.
And I don't mean to point this out, but time might not necessarily be linear.
No.
We just perceive it that way.
It's a flat circle, some people would tell us. Russ Cole of True Detective taught me that.
We could actually be further away from the kickoff of the 2014. We might actually be closer to Super Bowl IV.
My brain's already starting to hurt. Maybe somebody else
That's how Sam Beckett was able to jump around in Quantum Leap.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right, well, listen. Let's talk to a man who at least seems smart because he talks with an English accent all the way from across the Atlantic Ocean. He's our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
Very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. I hate to disappoint you, but traveling from the UK to LA, in my case, is not time travel.
No. Yeah,
that's linear travel.
No. When you travel from the UK to America, you actually, that's classic time-bending stuff.
But you gain some hours.
You gain 6 hours in your life. I've often said if you made a move like you did, in fact, you got yourself a one-way ticket from the UK to the West Coast of America. You got 6 hours to play with that the rest of us don't have.
Eight of them.
Eight?
Yep.
You got eight extra hours tacked onto your life.
On average, that's how long I spend listening to you each week.
Oh. Well, that's nice, I guess. That's flattering.
Is
in
it?
A good way.
By force? Well, guys, listen, he's not. Yeah. No one ties him down and forces him to do it.
Really? It's pretty close.
Do stand just in the doorway of my office.
The doorway is not that wide.
Yeah, that's true, just because I put heavy boxes so he can't get to the other side of it. Happy post-Memorial Day, everybody, and I hope most of the listeners, I certainly know a lot of the curmudgeons who talk about pro football for a living spent the holiday weekend up on Mount Pius in their summer homes, wringing their hands, looking down at planet Earth, at one man in particular standing poolside in Las Vegas. I'm speaking, of course, about Johnny Football, and people are very upset that this guy who just, this, what is he, 21?
Maybe 21.
Right.
Who? Well, then let's see. Now, if he's 20, then all right. Now, maybe he's in violation of some laws if he had a belt.
You can still go to a pool in Las Vegas.
I don't know if he had a belt though. But yeah, right. Either way, I just as a reminder, it's May. The season doesn't kick off for another 3+ months, as
but
we
we're
just identified.
Closer than we were when we started, though.
So true, and yet I feel like whatever debauchery he involved himself in, or didn't, in Vegas, he'll be able to overcome it over the course of the summer and focus in. And as I tweeted earlier today.
Did he show up for work for OTAs on Tuesday? Yes. Then who cares?
Adam Rank tweeted this from at Adam Rank. He said this guy didn't behave himself like a rookie and things worked out pretty well. It was a picture of Joe Namath in a fur coat. I referenced the people who are wringing their hands. I said, hey, Google Max McGee, the man who really could have been the MVP of the first Super Bowl. He went on a twister on the eve. He went out boozing to the point that he got home when the sun was coming up,
right,
and didn't get a wink of sleep. And he went on to catch the first touchdown pass in Super Bowl history, and then another one. Spectacular catches. I know that's a isolated incident, but
not
the
even
point
wearing
is,
his own helmet.
The guy's whatever he is, 20 or 21. He's just become a millionaire. He's not supposed to enjoy himself. What kind of robot do you want? I understand you don't want felons necessarily. You don't want violent criminals on your team. And by the way, go the other way with that. I don't love fan bases who are like, I don't care as long as he delivers wins. That's a weird mentality too. But on the other hand, lighten up, everybody. He's a kid. It's not a reflection on what he's going to be for your franchise. You disagree, Hanson?
No, not at all. The photograph of him, Gronk, and so 10 bikini-clad women is about the greatest thing. Why shouldn't he be doing that? It's a holiday weekend.
He's learning at the knee of one of his elders.
Exactly.
Yes, who better to model
teach him
one?
The way?
I have no beef with that. I have no beef with him. Here's what I know. This is the thing. For everybody who's upset and Johnny Football better not blow it. And, oh, no, what have you done, Cleveland, and all that kind of stuff. And the moral indictments of Johnny Football. Here's what I suggest you do. Go on Twitter or wherever and find the image of him with the foxy brunette poolside. And they're both making his famous money thing, whatever his thing.
Right.
What do you call that? When he turns his fingers up like that and does that with his fin? Whatever.
Whatever.
It's his symbol. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
The money sign, for crying out loud. Davey Podcast, you should know this.
You're right.
That's
I should know that.
Sign.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Who did that for us? Somebody out there from the Czech Republic sent over an image of me because, you know, he's Johnny Football because it's innate for him. He doesn't need the playbook. He makes his own rules. That's why I'm now Davey Podcast. And somebody sent over a very disturbing image of me as Davey Podcast. But either way.
We spoke about this last podcast, Dave.
We did. We gave him some props.
Oh, we did.
Black Tie gave him some props.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
ask Robbie Cano.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, yeah. So I appreciated it just the same. Anyhow, here's what you do. Find that picture and look at Johnny Football's face. That's all you need to know. You don't need to hear what he says or any press release from the Browns or how he's focusing on his studying, no matter what it looks like or anything else. All you need to do is just take a look at Johnny Football's face. That tells you everything you need to know about how much he cares about your opinion of whether or not he's allowed to be poolside enjoying himself. Look, he is he's on cloud nine, as well he should be. The only question
is, he's the backup, so who cares?
Yeah, well, no, he's not even the backup. He's the third stringer.
And also, this hasn't changed him. He was doing this before he got drafted into the NFL. It's not like this is a new maneuver for him.
Like we talked about Handsome on the last podcast, I don't understand the whole show, the whole charade of like, oh, I just got to earn my keep on this thing. Yeah, you're really in jeopardy of getting cut, Johnny Football. You might start the season third on the depth chart. I mean, it's all nonsense. He knows it. The Browns know it. Everybody knows it. It's silliness. All right. So I want to talk about this. Oh, but the one question I do think that's interesting now, as you see the top headline at NFL.com right now, is Sean Lee got his left knee hurt by the first-round draft pick, Zach Martin, no less. Sean Lee, the critical defensive piece for a pretty crummy Dallas defense. If he goes down again for the third time in three seasons for a long stretch, that's bad news for a Cowboys team that can't really afford any what should be an improved Eagles. With an improved Eagles and Redskins teams, they can't lose any ground defensively.
So the guy they passed over, they pass Johnny Manziel over for this guy, then he goes out and wrecks Sean Lee's knee.
That's exactly right. And that's shouldn't they should, that's before this knee injury, I know it has nothing to do with it, but I mean, again, they should have taken Johnny Football. Why the Cowboys didn't take Johnny Football? I get it was the first time that Jerry Jones on record did something that seems like, now see, that's the conservative, wise, measured decision instead of grabbing this this kid. But it really, at 34, with as we talked about all last week, and we're not going to get into it again, but, you know, Romo is old enough now and banged up enough that Johnny Football would have brought some juice. And I don't think the Cowboys are really a playoff team in that rugged NFC this year anyway, which then leads me back to the point that they should have taken Johnny Football when they had a chance.
And in fairness, anybody could have gotten Sean Lee injured. It wouldn't have been Zach Moy. It could have been anybody.
It was going to happen.
It was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not a matter of if. Right. Yes, Handsome.
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you raised a hand.
I was going to say exactly the same thing as Adam about 10 minutes ago.
All right. Well, so we're talking NFC East a little bit here, and that's bad news for Sean Lee and for the Cowboys, and hope he rounds into shape sooner rather than later. But something we did a little bit, we dipped our toe into these waters a year ago, and now I say we do it here on the podcast. I think it's fun to break down by division. Because we love to talk about that. We love to talk about that the NFC West is so good. And I've been making a case of late that the NFC North is the rising power, at least in the NFC. And with Johnny Football now on the Browns, the AFC's rising power may well be the AFC North. Although, you know, here's another team I've been thinking about a lot lately, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because I think that Blake Bortles is going to end up working out. I think he's going to end up being good. And if he is, you know, Gus Bradley with the defense is going to – he'll get that defense in shape eventually. He used to be the defensive coordinator, in case you don't know, for the Seahawks. So we can assume that the defense will come together. And now they have those nice pass catchers and everything else. I think that Jacksonville team has a shot to be good. Maybe not in 2014, but in 2015, I bet you they're going to start – yeah. So with all that being said, I want to go through – let's do it because we have Pierre Garçon coming up here. Let's establish who the best, if we did an all-star team for the each division, who would be on that starting team. All right? Yes, Black Tie, you had something to say here?
No, not at all. I just wanted to chime in on Blake Bortles. Not a huge fan. He doesn't rate well.
I could see you disapproving with your shaking head.
He doesn't rate
there.
Well on the body language scale. And in a place like Jacksonville,
he does not.
He's very bland, very... You know, doesn't give much emotion either way. Just seems happy to be here.
Well, now
wait a
second.
Maybe he doesn't want to give it away to you.
No, well, that's the
a
thing.
Guy
to
who's,
most
a guy
folks,
who's hanging around near
doesn't
him,
show emotion. I thought Cam Newton was eviscerated 2 years ago by the media for showing emotion.
Cam is a bit too much, but I mean, it does. It's a scale. It's not black or white. Blake Bortles is a bit too. Bit too bland for me. But
okay.
Carry on. NFC East, all divisions.
At some point, you're going to look at some team's masthead on their website or in a program, and it's going to say the director of body language.
Well, listen, if we have room.
He's going to get hired by somebody.
I just hope it will be added to his duties at the National Football League. Handsome Hank, don't you think if on the website there's room for scouts' takes, isn't there room for the body language experts' take on this guy?
Not yet, no.
No.
You're going to log on.
I think this podcast is the room for it at the
I
moment.
See.
We'll see if it grows.
At some point, you're going to log on to NFL Now, which is the new all-digital network coming this fall, summer. Black Tie's body language breakdown will be there.
That's
again,
a good idea.
Probably not happening anytime
Why
soon.
Why would it not? We're going to have a lot of time to fill on that thing. I think.
Yeah.
Well, plenty
but
of time.
But we want to fill it with stuff that people will watch.
NFC East, guys. Let's get to it.
I know. We'll get to that. Speaking of filling time, we had 3 days off. I saw the X-Men. I watched basketball. I watched hockey. It was a full holiday weekend for me. I want to get some thoughts from you guys on all those things, or at least a couple of them. In the meantime, though, Black Tie says we have to do it, so let's get into it here. Let's start with the defense, because it's too easy. We'll do quarterbacks. All right.
Didn't we spend the last podcast talking about Tony Romo and comparing him to every
other
quarterback?
You're right. That's why
NFL.
I want to skip
let's
it.
Let's build the team around the quarterback
yeah,
first,
let's build,
and then...
Let's
okay.
Build.
Let's start with the defense, then. And let's say you need, because it is, if you haven't heard, it's a quarterback league. It's a pass-first league. So let's assume you need three corners and three wide receivers and go from there. And let's start with the corners. Prince Amukamara, who spent the weekend at a bar mitzvah, if you saw any of that. Morris Claiborne, there's Brandon Carr, there's DRC now.
Well, Brandon Carr said he's going to try this year or something to that effect.
D'Angelo Hall. That can't. Is that really the extent of the
really
good
like,
corners?
I don't really like the corners if we're putting together an NFC East team.
Wow, that's really that's pretty crummy. That's the best of it, really?
Kerry Williams on the Eagles.
Yeah, that's a little bit better, right? Wait, no, wait, there's got to be somebody. Wait, Stanley Jean-Baptiste went to the Giants, did he not?
Are we going
to
count him in as a
Listen,
on this team, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, DRC, I guess, has to make it, but this is a guy who, was it right before or just after the Super Bowl, said, I think I'm pretty much done after 6 years. And then the big negotiation between the Jets and the Giants chasing his services. I thought that was weird. I don't know that I'm spending millions and millions of dollars on a guy who announced he's contemplating retirement. I don't know how much I would want that guy, but certainly he's got to be here in this case. Morris Claiborne, I don't know. Is he better than Brandon Carr even? I guess you got to put Claiborne in
maybe
there. Boy, this is going to be the worst. I don't think any division is going to trump this crummy collection of corners, right? Is there anybody?
That's pretty bad.
The safeties are even worse, though.
Do we want to throw Kerry Williams in there? Anybody want to?
Who's your top two? Who are your top two cornerbacks for sure?
I mean, DRC on reputation, I suppose, even though he's an incomplete guy who's not exactly dominant but has survived. You know, he keeps falling into nice gigs, it seems. But
and
I don't.
Hall is frustratingly inconsistent. Will make some great plays and then get toasted.
But we can put him on there. We'll let him work the slot receivers.
Yes,
that
okay.
seems like a good plan.
Okay,
that makes sense.
Amuka Moore at least had the pedigree.
No.
All right. So DRC, D'Angelo Hall, and Morris Claiborne. That's what we're going with. Oof, that's rough.
We have to.
I guess we have to. At safety, Antrell Roll. Malcolm Jenkins now moves up there. We liked him a lot. I'm putting him on there. I'm just going to say he makes the team. Or Brandon Merriweather. No, we're not putting him on
How
there.
How about we only play with one safety and add another position on defense? I don't want to play with...
Let's play, yeah, well...
Oh, this is
not... This defense is going to be bad.
Let's go 4-4.
Yeah, we're going to get beaten by the NFC West.
So
by every division. I'm glad we started off with this one. Who picked the NFC East?
Well, we decided to start with the East because we have our Garcon coming up here, so we can ask him at least about one or two positions there. But this is good because we're starting low here now. And once we get into the NFC West and the NFC North, then we'll swoon at the options available to us. All right, we'll go Roll Jenkins there at linebacker.
Well, now we don't have Sean Lee to
I know
from.
It. Is that all right to do? And what? By the way, are we going to do defensive fronts as well? What do you think? Are we just going to do the whole front?
Let's go D line. Let's go D line of a team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it is a little bit.
The whole package.
Let's do the linebackers, though, at least. John Beeson. I mean, yeah, Sean Lee would be in there, but if he's not if
I
he's
think
hurt.
All our linebackers feel like if it was 2011, we'd be in good shape.
Well, I think we definitely go Arakpo and Cole.
Right.
Trent Cole definitely gets it. Brian Arakpo gets it. Ryan Kerrigan's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it's not satisfying doing this because I'm not swooning for the names. I want to be like, oh, look at this.
But the defense a bit tough. Power through, Shaq. Power through.
Okay, okay.
The offense. Just
we'll put
something.
Sean Lee in there. All right, let's get to it then. QBs, who do you like?
This is the fun conversation. What D-line are you going with first? Who's D-line?
The whole line?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, no one from the Cowboys, I guess, although if Melton comes back right, then that's not bad. I don't know. What's best here?
Pick one. Redskins line.
The Giants still have at least a couple of viable pieces.
Go the Giants. Go the Giants line.
Let's take the Giants line on reputation.
All right. QB. This is the big one. Rank. Eli Romo. I have a feeling I know who Rank's going to say here. Eli Romo, RG3, Nick Foles go.
RG3.
Oh, surprise. I was sure you were going to go with Romo.
No.
Handsome, how say you?
Guy coming off back surgery? As opposed to RG3, who has so much of his career left to look forward to.
Romo!
I don't want to be inconsistent. On last week, whenever we last spoke, you and I, on Thursday, you went through and asked me every single quarterback in the NFL if I would take Romo over them, and you got to Romo and RG3, and I said I'd take Romo.
That's true. Did we talk about Eli?
I'm not going to have changed my mind over the weekend.
Here's another thing I want to do.
I would rather have Romo over Eli.
Here's another conversation that we can do over the course of the summertime. I think it's fun because I like to play hypothetical games, and I like to recklessly speculate.
Can we get done with this hypothetical?
Yes. We're
first?
Not going to trade. There isn't a trade in the making that I'm aware of, at least. But it's fun to take division rivals and flip the QBs because I think it does legitimately help you appreciate what you have at quarterback. Mm-hmm. For instance, if Eli Manning were on the Cowboys and Tony Romo were on the Giants, what would the last 10 years look like? How different would the NFL be?
Well, as I said to you when you asked me the exact same question on Thursday, I said that the Cowboys would have been to many more playoffs than they have done in the last 15 years, but Eli Manning wouldn't have 2 Super Bowl rings.
Rank, I'll say you.
So the Patriots would have 2 more Super Bowl
That's
titles.
Correct.
So if Romo were the Giants QB, you contend that the Giants wouldn't have gotten to those Super Bowls or wouldn't have beaten those Patriot teams.
They might have got to one, and they maybe not even got to one.
But then how did you just name Romo your number one QB in the division? Why would you say that? How can you have Romo one?
Because it's the other 3 guys he's better than.
All right. Well, but Eli did get to the Super Bowl and win. But Eli did get to those Super Bowls and did win them.
Did you watch anything that Eli Manning did in 2013?
Wow.
Did you see him win any Super Bowls then?
Touche. A fair point. All right. I'm going RG3 because I'm an optimist like Rank. I think he's still – I think we've forgotten. I think we got awfully caught up in a messy situation with the Shanahans and with ownership and, you know, a too much spotlight on a guy just in his second year there and probably – you know, probably made bad decisions, RG3, with some of the comments he made and stuff. I don't think he won the locker room necessarily from some of the guys that I've talked to. It seems like there were some guys who he was rubbing the wrong way. But I think you write that off to being young.
Yeah, luckily, I think, though, you know, the owners put him in a position where now he's going to really temper that and won't be doing it nearly as much in 2014.
Are you being serious?
Oh, wait, no, he allowed him to hire the head coach.
You were being serious.
It's only going to get worse. He didn't this is not going to get better.
Because when Magic got Westfall retired or fired, so West Head, jeez.
Now, wait a second. Nobody in this room or Black Tie Behind the Glass wishes to make a case for Nick Foles? System QB.
No, I do think it's pretty good. I do think it's legit. No. Has legitimate arm. You know, I do think it's pretty good. However, I would make a case with Eli, and here's why. If we're putting this in a tournament, this essentially we're playing 3 playoff games, 3 to win. I'm taking Eli, man. You know, as of right now, I do think RG3 is going to have a huge season, but Eli has a case for it. He has the pedigree, so to speak. Tony Romo definitely doesn't. RG3 does not have the experience.
All right, well, that's 2 votes for RG3, so your noise is moot because we both, so me and Rank went for RG3, so we'll do with that. But for the record, Eli Manning is the closest to the Hall of Fame of those 4 names right now.
Correct.
If all of them retired today, Eli Manning would be the only one with a shot at the Hall of Fame. All right, wide receivers. If we go 3 here, now we're cooking here because now we have some good ones. Dez Bryant certainly makes
the team.
He's
made the squad.
Victor Cruz, I think, has to make the team. He's been very productive over the last.
Great,
if you haven't
play
noticed.
Him in the slot.
Yeah, well, listen.
There's a lot of slot contenders in that division.
Yeah, there are, but Victor Cruz, you know, Hakeem Nicks was lousy last year in a contract year and was really supposed to, you know, return, or at least I thought he would. But the guy, the one dependable weapon all season long was Victor Cruz for that Giants offense. He's the only one, you know, they have the running backs and they have all Reuben Randle and everything else, but it was Victor Cruz who continued to put up the good numbers. I don't know how you keep him out of this. So that brings us to Pierre Garçon, who's coming up on the show, so it would be rude not to put him on there. But on the other hand,
his new teammate.
Who's the number one there? Who's the better receiver, Garçon or DeSean Jackson? Because otherwise you're talking Jeremy Maclin or Riley Cooper, and we're not putting either one of those guys
ahead. Here's the thing. No. I'm building a team here.
Right? I see.
I like how Hank's thinking.
And DeSean Jackson can return punts and kicks for me as well. So let's choose him, and then we've filled 2 positions with 1. I think like a GM. I act like a GM. I talk like a GM.
Rank, you agree with Dez Bryant?
Yeah, I agree with all 3 of those guys.
And you're putting
DeSean Jackson for sure.
The one thing is, Pierre Garçon, I will say, and not just because he's coming up here, his numbers are greater than what you would think. And over the course of his career, DeSean Jackson's numbers are far less than you would think they would be. For all the hype and the spectacular plays and the punt returns in the Meadowlands and all that stuff, if you look up his career numbers, they're not overwhelming. Last year was his best year, certainly. But other than that, it's not like he's this guy who is a, who cuts the figure of a number one receiver. He gets hurt because he's smallish. And, you know, he's not a 100-catch type of guy. Pierre Garçon can be that. All right, so let's go with DeSean Jackson, though. I kind of undermine myself with that point, but I think you go DeSean Jackson, ultimately. Tight end, Jason Witten, and I guess the only viable alternative to that would be Jordan Reed, right? The oncoming tight end target for those DC Redskins, right?
Yeah, I think he'd be the only competition right
but
now.
But we got to go with the Hall of Famer. Future Hall of Famer. Jason Witten.
Future Hall of Famer.
Jason Witten? Sure. Yeah.
His numbers say Witten, Hall of Famer?
No.
Really?
No.
I mean, that's an interesting it's not out of, like, completely out of the realm possibility, but the way that you said it was
You're right. When we went we did with Rod Woodson, we like to play Hall or Nothing, and he votes on whether or not he has the gold jacket, and so he tries to evaluate guys who do. What did he say? He said Jason Witten's a tough one, and he doesn't think he gets into the Hall of Fame because Rod Woodson's standard is, and probably is the right standard to apply, is, was he ever the best at his position?
Right.
Did you game plan against them? I don't know. I feel like Jason Witten kind of was the best tight end.
I think he's always been about the second best at his, and he's been very consistent. And you know, the whole way through his career, he's been at that kind of level. But he's never been the number one. You know, he had Antonio Gates early in.
Gates, Gonzalez,
right.
Jimmy Graham, Gronkowski.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know that he's ever been, like, the best guy.
All right, so
is he even the best tight end in Cowboys history? Would you not say that Jay Novacek played a more instrumental role in the Cowboys?
Mm-hmm. Well, you love your Jay Novacek because you fell in love with him at the Super Bowl.
I think it was mutual, but
yeah. No, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I mean, it was reciprocated, no question.
Don't forget David LaFleur.
Billy Joe Dupree.
Right.
Doug Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
Back to this team, though. I think you guys
I think Jason. That's a great question, though, Rank. Novacek versus Jason Witten. Of course, Novacek happens to be on the much more talented team. I think Jason Witten probably is better than Jay Novacek. Wouldn't that have happened if Jay... Would there have been a drop-off with those Super Bowl teams if it was Witten instead of Novacek? I don't think so, really.
No, well, Witten would have been like 4.
Real quick, I do want to make a case for Jordan Reed, though. You guys are sleeping on him. I think he was the best young Jordan tight end in the league last year. Jordan Cameron got a lot of love last year. He started off the season pretty hot. Jordan Reed showed a lot of promise. I think with a guy, RG3, at the quarterback position, he's a lot of speed. Look out for Jordan Reed to have a big year.
Debatably, the one or maybe two tight end named Jordan, you want to put him on this team?
Yeah.
Okay. I do think we should have Jordan rankings, though, in the NFL. There are now enough that it's worth a list, you know? I think that, we have Jordan Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Jordan. We have Deion Jordan.
Deion Jordan, up and coming. Jordan.
Is he up and coming?
Yep.
Handsome for your Dolphins?
He is, yeah. Apparently he showed up to their OTAs today 20 pounds heavier than he was last season.
Oh, that's good.
When he
good.
Was criticized for not being strong enough to play.
So this is all brawn, we can assume.
This is all muscle and brawn, yeah.
Not
the Damashek diet.
Jordan Gross. Throw him in there? No?
Sure.
Not.
He's you know, when you list Jordans, he's one of them.
Yeah. Jordan Shipley, I don't know if he's still in the league, but he was, I'm disappointed what happened in his career. I'm sure he is too, but he should have been a lot better.
What was Carson Palmer's brother's name?
Jordan Palmer.
Palmer, yeah.
And Jordan Rodgers, I believe.
Jordan Rodgers
and Jordan Palmer at quarterback.
Wow, this is some list.
What was Jordy Nelson? Does Jordy Nelson make the team?
Carson Palmer's brother, I think so.
Jordan. What was his name? Jordan Palmer.
I was just making sure it was Jordan. Yeah. Wait, did I say Carson Palmer?
No, you said Carson Palmer's brother, Jordan. What was his name?
Oh.
This is a weird name. Dumb. You have Jordan the backup, so you have Jordan the tight end.
Too popular, by the way.
And then
popular.
You have the Jordan Cameron Jordan thing going on. It's
I don't think we need this
strange.
Many Jordans in society. Is it that good a name? And
now it's going boy and girl, too.
I know, and was it inspired by Michael Jordan? I assume it was. I know that you would say, oh, no, people aren't naming their child after Michael Jordan
really?
In 2014. But yeah, look at all the pop culture references. Aren't like Game of Thrones characters' names really popular now?
Daenerys is.
I don't know. That's what I read somewhere. And
Daenerys
that seems
is.
Ludicrous.
What? Khaleesi is.
Khaleesi
was
not
the.
A name.
No, Khaleesi was the one of the most popular baby names last year.
Do you have a source for that?
I do. It's called the internet. But
that's a shame. Anyway. Okay. Running backs. So we go with Jason Witten for our NFC.
Should be Jordan Reed, but fine.
Wait. I can't even. No, please go.
You don't
it
want.
It should be Jordan Reed.
Should like, be.
If Jordan. Okay, Jason
because
Witten. We
didn't
just,
you just hear
we
Rank?
Were just arguing.
He just
he
named
be,
him the one of the two best Jordans. Tight ends in the NFL current.
That that's immediately gets you onto the all
top
NFC
of the line.
East team.
That supersedes a borderline Hall of Fame position.
Right. Well, it's not a lifetime achievement award. You know, it's about who's the better Jordan tight end in the league right now.
But
that's
you just said showed promise. He did not reach that promise. So maybe in 3 years, yes. This isn't about
when
three
Jason Witten's retired.
Next, running back. I don't know
this
about offensive
easy.
Line either. I think it's got to be the Eagles
it's
with
the Eagles
Jason Peters
line.
Coming back. Let's assume that he's in close to what he used to be kind of health, and I think that Eagles line is going to be more dominant than it was last year. But the guy who benefited from the offensive line and from his own spectacular instincts and wiggle, my favorite guy in the NFL to watch carry the football, and that includes Adrian Peterson, Shady McCoy, has to be the answer here, although Rank, you like him, I enjoy him personally. Alfred Morris deserves some attention, deserves his moment in the sun, but he can't be. He can't be ahead of Shady, and I don't even know if he goes ahead of DeMarco Murray.
He's going ahead of DeMarco Murray. That's
I would agree with that, but I don't think – I bet you if you put this to a poll of all football evaluators, they would disagree with us.
Is this a week one DeMarco Murray or week nine when he's on the sideline?
Well, that's why I don't like. I mean, if your running back is healthy for half the available games, that's a problem. That kind of creates a.
So we're saying that Alfred Morris is the right guy then.
I think so, but I don't think most people would say that.
Dave, there's only three people in this room. If we all agree,
you're right.
Then he's on the team.
Well, I'll tell you this. Not that the top 100 list.
He's not beating out LeSean, though.
NFL Network's top 100 list, I don't know if Alfred Morris makes it or not, but his name hasn't shown up yet. And given the fact that tomorrow night, Wednesday night, when we do, what is it, 70 down
70,
to 61?
61. Yeah.
You know, I do know who's on that part of the list now. And his name, I don't want to say anything.
Who
more.
Is it?
There's some interesting names on that list.
All I'll tell you is this. I don't think Alfred Morris is showing up at this point on the list going forward. Maybe he will. Maybe I'll be surprised. But DeMarco Murray's name has shown up here. Now, doesn't mean that it's 100% accurate, that list, but the way the NFL players voted on it, they say DeMarco Murray, the better player. I disagree. Shady McCoy, though, is our number one running back, and there can't be any question about that.
Okay.
Right?
That's a solid team.
We
you
agree
recap?
With that? Or do you
I think he's
gonna,
no, no,
you're
no.
not going to try to make an Alfred Morris case, are you?
Do you want me to?
No, only if it's in your heart.
Would it be that kind of situation where everybody in the room is already voting against him and is going to go to Shady McCoy and I would just be wasting
yes.
valuable
yes.
time
yes.
arguing something that's already been decided?
Yes. yes.
Well, then I'd like to make a
All
case
right,
for
please
Jordan.
Do. Please do.
Here's the thing about Freddie Morris. If you take him, and it depends on the type of offense that you want to run. If you want to play one of those smash mouth
All right,
teams,
out of the gate, that's a problem. Well, he's not going to work in a lot of systems.
That's not what I'm saying. It's depending on the system that you're running. And if you want to play in that smash mouth – actually, it doesn't even have to be that way because 2 years ago, when RG3 was up and running and everything was going great, he had close to 1,600 yards or had 1,600 yards. That's a significant amount.
Right.
Shady McCoy was fine last year, but you know what? His touchdowns disappeared a couple of years ago. Little injury concerns. I don't know. I like Freddie Morris.
A tepid defense of Alfred Morris. I mean, Shady McCoy, because 2 years ago he didn't score enough touchdowns. He's still dynamite, though.
If we were doing an all-league team here, Shady McCoy would be my number one or two.
I agree with you about that.
I don't know why we're talking about him in the NFC East.
Well, I mean, you know,
Adam, you did it. You tried your best there.
It's half-hearted.
You weren't
best.
Really feeling it.
No, I can't. It's hard. It's like, why am I going to talk?
Shaq, you want to recap the team before we get Pierre on the phone?
No, I don't. I think if you weren't following along, then that's
write
on
it
you.
Down.
No. We've got RG3, Dez Bryant, Victor Cruz, DeSean Jackson, Jason Witten, Shady McCoy. We have.
With the Eagles O-line.
We're going to go with the Eagles O-line. I think we should really do the defensive line. But anyway, we have. This team is not going to win a Super Bowl or whatever the all-division tournament bowl is about. Division bowl. Because of their liability in the secondary. It's a collective liability. D'Angelo Hall, DRC, Morris Claiborne, and at safety, Antrell Roll and Malcolm Jenkins. Our linebackers are. It does look, by the way, we're getting news that the Cowboys think Sean Lee did tear his ACL. So if he's out, then we can't really use him. So then what? D'Amico Ryans, I guess, and Arakpo, and Trent Cole, and Ryan Kerrigan. Some combo of that quartet, I think, is probably our best bet there. And then we'll go with a three-man front. We'll put Henry Melton as our anchor. And... anyway, there's our team there.
Go Giants D-line.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we had done that. Yeah. Oh, right. What am I thinking? Yeah, so we'll put JPP at one spot there. Yes, so that's not half bad. All right, so that's
I did want to say that the according to BabyCenter.com, Jordan is the 74th most popular boy's name, but the 100th. Girl's
that's
name.
Where it's getting it. That's where you're getting it, right?
That's where it's true. It's super. What was the name?
And it's a surname. That's why it's in the zeitgeist more. It's not even just because it's a unisex name, but also it can be a surname. And so, like as we see with Cameron Jordan, now it's even more out there.
Right? How many Jordans are there in the world? Can you research that, Adam or Black Tie?
In 2012, 146 babies were named Khaleesi. That's
146.
Up there.
That's 146. Just an awful.
That's not
awful
making
thing.
The list.
No, but it's still
in the
asinine.
World.
It's 146 too many.
Why would you do that to your kids?
Khaleesi. Well, and also, as I've said...
For a start, I guarantee none of them will grow up.
It's a dangerous
dragons.
Game, at the very least, because if you name your child Khaleesi, who is mother of dragons and leader of hundreds of thousands or whatever, tens of thousands of troops and everything else, and your kid grows up to be a janitor, there's going to be a sad irony that they have to deal with.
On that, when they start to talk, their third birthday, what do you want for your birthday, little Khaleesi? I want a dragon, Mommy.
Yeah.
You're not going to get one. Sorry. Yeah.
Hey, and then when they're an adult and you know they aren't something akin to in the 21st century to a mother of dragons and instead they're doing manual labor like, hey Khaleesi, mother of dragons, can you take a plunger to stall number 3?
Yeah, Khaleesi,
you know, like that's not going to be good.
Server of school lunches, can
you?
And that's like that didn't work out so well for Khaleesi.
But then again, that's why I appreciate Merlin Olsen's parents. Right. They rolled the dice and it came up 7 for them. Merlin. They named him after a medieval wizard.
Yeah, but Merlin Johnson, who's still working at the Hojo right now, he's got the swing shift, didn't work out so well for him.
As I told you, I have a cousin called Merlin who does no magic.
Is that right?
That's correct.
You have a cousin named Merlin.
That was a classic DDFP code open.
Oh, that's heavenly. I love that. Although I feel weird, I feel it's weird that he wouldn't try magic. But then again, that's him thumbing his nose at his parents. That's a rebellion. That's what that is right there. Yeah. You know, you're not going to pigeonhole me with your fantasy of what I should be, mom and dad. Right. All right. Real quick, this weekend, let's just review the weekend. Handsome, what did you do with yourself? Did you take in any NBA ball, any NHL hockey? Did you see any movies?
No, I didn't. Instead of doing any of those things, I decided to move house this weekend, and I lifted approximately 200 boxes and then put them in a van and then drove the van to the new house and then lifted them out of the van and put them in the new house.
Did anyone from the NFL, any of your colleagues, help you with the move?
No, they didn't, and it is a criticism of my colleagues and friends. That said, I like to work at my own pace, and what I don't need is dawdlers. I don't need people who I'm trying to get something done, and they're like, hey, why don't we go and have lunch or something like that. I like to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it at my own pace, and it was completed quickly.
What gift, prize payment, whatever, would anyone who had helped you? If Black Tie had shown up and said, I'm ready to work, boss, whatever you want today, mm-hmm. you're calling the shots, I'm here for you, what would his reward be?
Well, I'll tell you what I could have done. I went and got, I hired a van from U-Haul on Saturday morning, and when I got there at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, promptly to pick it up, there was a line of about 200 people.
Oof.
And I thought, I mean, I'm not kidding, maybe 300 people, and it was lining up all the way. I was thinking, this, I stood in it for about 2 minutes, and I was like, there can't be 300 people who want to hire U-Haul vans. So I walked up to the front of the line, and the office that I was actually going into, the U-Haul one, was right there, and it was only halfway down the line. And I went in and said, what are all these people doing? Apparently the armory near wherever that is in L.A., had a half price sale on ammunition, and there were 300 people waiting outside in line to get cheap ammo. And I really was like, "This is what are you doing?"
Oh, that all right, now Khaleesi, naming your child Khaleesi right. Now falls to number two on
exactly.
the saddest statements about society.
All the people in that. I mean, I should think half of them have children called Khaleesi.
What are they, like heat-seeking missiles? What do you need a whole U-Haul to do that for?
No, wait. They weren't waiting for a U-Haul. They were waiting at the next door to it. Was the gun club.
I see.
I'm not. Everyone just wanted cheap bullets.
Terrific. Great news.
Mm. Wonderful.
That's grim. Now, did you see... Now, real quick, fellas. I know, Rank, you're very excited about your Kings. And lo and behold, where 18,000 Kings fans suddenly seem to be... You can count them in the millions now. All of a sudden, people care about hockey in Los Angeles. But...
Dave, you're better than that.
No, I'm not.
They go to the bandwagon card.
So what?
Like, it's so stupid.
Why?
It's just a cheese. Really? Where were all... You could do that for any fan
base.
For any sport. Really?
Except...
Where were all the Pirate fans until they went to the playoffs last year?
Because there are more entrenched fans before the winning begins. That's the difference. It's not like there are people who claim to be Kings fans until they suddenly start winning. Then magically they're fighting for tickets and everything. Either way, I think it'll be great for the sport of hockey because the Kings... as opposed to 3 years ago, now play a more exciting brand of puck. And if it does end up being the Rangers, New York City versus Los Angeles, that's always good for a sport. And both teams happen to be compelling teams. I do think that if it winds up that way, the Kings will smoke the Rangers because I don't think the Blue Shirts are really all that good. But it's exciting for you. And have you been watching LeBron and company, Rank?
In what?
Black Tie, I know you're paying attention to it.
What?
Now do you see LeBron is the best player of all time, Black Tie?
Disagree. It's not even close, really. He has a chance, but at this point it's not even close. He is by far the best in the game today and definitely top five, probably top three, but you underestimate how great MJ was. Like, it's not even... Like,
I don't underestimate it.
It seems like, you know, it's not true. Like, it's fiction how great
Answer
MJ
this.
Was.
It's not fiction. Listen, but here's the...
Why is Black Tie supporting Magic Johnson? That's the biggest upset here.
Oh, Rank.
It's what? When he says MJ, he's talking about Michael Jordan.
Oh.
Another one of those Jordans phone. Again. It's unfair. When people say, well, you can't blame a guy, you can't blame a team for who they beat. Hey, all they can do is play who's in front of them. Yeah, but... You know, we're not having a conversation in a vacuum. It does matter who you play. And, you know, Muhammad Ali's that much better because he went and beat Joe Frazier twice. And the Steelers are great in the 70s because they beat the mighty Dallas Cowboys a couple of times. And so on. It does matter who you beat. And along those lines, who's better, the Spurs or the Utah Jazz, Karl Malone, John Stockton, and those guys? I mean, who's better? Let's say that you get the Heat and they do beat the Spurs again. Who's the better rival? Who's the better finals foe? And doesn't that count for something? Who did Jordan beat in those finals?
Again, check you. Just like with the NFL, you're stuck on this whole, like, there are nine other players on the court. I agree.
No,
like,
NBA is different. Basketball, by its nature, is different than football.
I understand. It's heavy, really reliant on one star. But just to take that alone into account, as opposed to looking at the whole careers, I think is crazy. Like, trust me, I believe LeBron has been the best player in the NBA today and for the last 8 years. However, you're really underestimating how great MJ was. MJ was, to put it in NFL terms, MJ was like Aaron Rodgers in his prime, I guess, which is right now, and Peyton Manning's mind. Like, he attacked the game from a Kobe-like scoring mentality, but with LeBron-type efficiency. Like, if it's LeBron's great, but he's not. He's no MJ.
All right. Well, we'll continue this conversation later, and we'll talk some X-Men too. Rank, you got to go. Oh, yeah, you can't see the X-Men. Handsome, will you see X-Men?
I'm not interested in the X-Men.
No?
Did you see
I
the
saw
Avengers,
this weekend.
Hank?
I was underwhelmed.
Look, I like my super. I keep my superheroes simple. There's Superman, there's Spider-Man, there's Batman. I used to like Iceman.
Iceman. Oh, he shows up in this picture.
Does yeah, he is. Yeah, Iceman's in
I
it.
Just,
he's pretty, pretty
I mean,
prominent.
He's kind of useless, but I like the fact that he could throw ice all over the place. I want to keep it simple. I don't need other superheroes.
I would tell you what, though, Hank. If you did see the Avengers.
By the way, Spider-Man's my favorite.
Really? Interesting.
Because he's a wiseacre.
Is he?
Yeah. He's funny.
He's kind of. He's, I mean, well, he's supposed
the
to
movies
be,
but in the comics, the movie, he's
right,
funny.
Right.
Right.
Where else would he? What's that other
meeting? In the movies.
In the real life, he's incredibly.
Well, no, I've complained. No, in the comics versus the movies, things change. Like, for instance, the most notable annoyance that I have is between Spider-Man and Batman is in the comic books, they don't take their masks off for anything. They always have to hide their identity. And these guys in the movie, they can't go 90 minutes without saying, "Oh, hey, you'll join.
Never guess who I am."
Yeah. "Oh, you'll come in between the sheets with me?" "Oh, well, then by all means, I'm Bruce Wayne. How about that, lady?" "What? Keep that under wraps, fella. You've been hiding it for 50 years. Now all of a sudden, Kim Basinger, takes a dress off and, I'm Bruce Wayne. Hi, how are you?" Terrible.
That is as ridiculous as the idea that Superman, just because he puts on a pair of glasses and brushes his hair a little bit differently, no one will recognize him.
A fair point. I get it, but I always like to think that Superman, because he's not human, has some ability to control your brain and make you believe that he's Clark Kent. Right. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. But the point is, Black Tie, I know you love the X-Men. I didn't go wild for it.
It was amazing. I don't see what you didn't like
about
it.
It felt derivative from Terminator and all that. All this
well, the story
time,
there
space
is
travel
have
to have seen and everything.
Terminator to have that.
Well, I have seen Terminator plus the story, not to get too rank comic book geekery but the story Days of Future Past is actually based on a comic that was written before Terminator. So you can't quite say it's
so Arnold Schwarzenegger's the thief.
Exactly.
Well, it was good. I just wasn't blown away by it as I expected.
Fassbender was awesome. So was McAvoy.
I like that Michael Fassbender.
So performances alone were pretty amazing.
All right. Well, listen. Enough's enough. Let's get him on the line. Handsome, you got to run, but stick around here because here comes Pierre Garçon.
Dave, da 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 don don't, Dave.
All right, Rank. Here he is now, the man who showed up last week at number 80 on the NFL Network's Top 100 Players of 2014. He's also been the favorite target of RG3 in his couple of years in the NFL. And we'll see, if that changes at all now that DeSean Jackson's in the fold. Let's talk about that, as well as this man's second annual all-white charity event, June 5th of this year, the Millennium Building. It's the Pierre Garçon All-White Charity Event benefiting Boys and Girls Clubs. Pierre Garçon, what's happening, man?
How you doing, man? Glad to be on.
That was a lengthy wind-up to bring you on. I hope you still have some time left here. Hey, real quick, tell me this. Am I saying it right? Because I have that ugly Pittsburgh accent. Garçon.
Garçon, yep.
Garçon! Right. I'm doing it just right. Cool.
Yep.
So
yep.
What happens at the All-White Event?
It's a great time to come and enjoy some of the my guys on the team. Enjoy a great night of listening from some of the guys, some of the kids from the Boys and Girls Club talk about their experience through the Boys and Girls Club and how we can help keep their doors open so that the youth of our communities can stay out of trouble.
And just to clarify for anyone wondering, the event is that you have to wear all white, right?
That's the goal of it, but not everybody has all white in their closet, so there's a little bit of you can dress it up with a different color tie or a different color bow tie or different color shoes, but majority of the outfit has to be all white.
But
gotcha.
They're humiliated that they roll up with like a red tie or something, right?
If you have all white and then just a red tie, that's okay. But if it's a red tie, a red suit, it would be a different story.
Oh, wait, I see a picture right here. Freddie Morris showed up with a burgundy. I take it back. You look cool if you do that. I take it
where
back.
Where does a human being get a white tie anyway?
I own one.
Really?
But look at this. Alfred Morris looks sharp. So.
All right, he's a handsome devil. Do you have a white tie, Pierre Garçon?
I do have a white tie. I kept it from last year's event.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah. It would be weird for you to show up not applying your own rules that you've established. All right, listen, mm-hmm. we can talk about that later. Again, June 5th, and you can track it down on bgcgw.org. You can find out more information about this. The tickets are sold out, but you can still go to the after party. All right, let's get into talking some pigskin here. OTAs underway.
Sure.
All of that, but first for me, react to your placement at number 80 on the top 100 list.
It is what it is. You know, like somebody told me, it's just a popularity contest. But it's football. It happens. You know, like I said, it's better to be underrated than overrated.
Well, I mean, listen, popularity. Yeah, it means you're popular then, because you're number 80. Your peers think that you're in the top 100. That's flattering to you, or how do you react to it?
No, it's cool. You know, it's better than nothing. It's better than not being in there at all. But I'll take it. You always, obviously, everybody wants for that, you know, that top spot. But only one person can get it. But you know, you just have to continue putting work years in and years out to move your way up.
Well, I said when we were bringing you in here that DeSean Jackson now in the fold, and of course there are a number of other nice pass catchers still in DC too. How when you hear that news? Be honest, no jive, Pierre Garçon. When you hear the news, you, from a team perspective, well, the team can only be better with DeSean Jackson, but does it go through your head from an ego standpoint? Am I still the number one, or how do I slot now, or this is going to create more opportunity for me? What's your immediate reaction to that news?
DeSean definitely coming to our team definitely helps. You know, the more weapons on offense is the better for everybody on offense. It doesn't matter if anybody is on the team. You still have to be prepared to play and take advantage of the opportunities when they're given to you. No matter if they think you're number one or number two or number three. You know, I played all those positions in my career, so it doesn't matter who's on the other side. I just have to do my job when they are counting on me, and that's doesn't matter if it's Robert throwing the ball or Peyton or it doesn't matter who it is. You just have to show up regardless of the situation.
Now, you just talked about the top 100 coming in at 80, but I don't know if you've heard the news, but our resident scout, Bucky Brooks, has called the Washington Redskins the number one receiving core in the NFL right now. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that that's warranted?
We have a lot of great players in our receiver core. We just have to, make plays. We have to show up. You know, we can say all these ratings and rankings, but as long as we show up and play on Sunday, definitely could happen, and we definitely can be, one of the top receiving corps in the NFL.
All right, let's hear about DeSean Jackson, the guy, once he arrives now. I've met him. He's a talker. I find it delightful. I find him amusing. But when in the locker room, when there are no cameras or recorders or anything else around, does he say, man, I want to get those Eagles this year? Those are the two games this year that really mean the most to me.
Oh, yeah. No matter what team, you've played for or played for, as long as if you let go from that team, you definitely want to show them what they let go. You definitely want to show them, you definitely want to have a great game against them. You definitely want to play well against them, and we all know that. And definitely looking forward to that game and looking forward to every game. But, I guess the Eagles would mean a little bit more to him, just like, playing against our old team would be a little bit more to me and, have a lot to prove on those days.
But I've asked this question of a number of guys, and it's funny because the answer seems to change by position or by system that you left and so on. But can DeSean Jackson actually provide any insight into the Chip Kelly offense? Has he been able to do that so far? Do you know if he's been kibitzing with Jay Gruden and company and saying, here's what they like to do and here's how you can stop it, that sort of practical insight?
I'm sure he probably can, but I'm sure, Chip Kelly's offense is changing every minute, but I'm sure he definitely can give us some insight on what's going on and what they like to do and what they did last year. But
you know, football is a game of studying, and I'm studying your opponents, and I'm being ahead of your opponents and not being behind them when they're changing things up.
Well, in terms of adjustments, Jay Gruden has already said that his big thing that he wants to do, of course, makes sense, RG3 being the franchise and all that, wants to keep him safe this year, but he also doesn't want to keep him in the pocket too much because then that goes against his unique skill set. So what is, first of all, how's RG3 looking a year removed from the knee stuff and, you know, going into year three? And do you think that RG3 is still going to be able do you anticipate at least some design run plays every Sunday to see him take advantage of his greatest asset, arguably?
I'm not sure about the design run plays, but we always want him to make plays with his legs when he has the opportunity and be safe, obviously. But, you know, I don't think they're going to design plays for him, but he's looking well. He's looking good this year. You know, he's coming off, you know, the injury, but he's definitely rehabbing well and getting back into the groove and, you know, definitely growing as a player, as a quarterback in this league.
Help me out with this. This is a little campaign we just started. We're starting with the NFC East. We're going division by division, trying to figure out who the all-division guys are. And then at the end of it, we'll see who would win among the divisions if all eight divisions played each other. You know, all-star games, basically. Give for me, let's focus on the NFC East wide receivers. Let's assume three wide receivers can be in the starting lineup. Why don't you tell me who they are?
I guess let me think. who are the wide receivers? Do we name ourselves or do we name
you can name yourself, please. But I want no jive. Only if you believe you belong in the top three, because there are some good pass catchers in the division.
Of course I believe I belong in the top three, but I guess we say myself, Deshaun, and I don't know who else is out there.
You and Deshaun both make the team?
Why not?
I don't know. I'm because I said there's some good pass catchers. There's Victor Cruz. There's Dez Bryant. There's,
he's gone,
you know,
this far. Just say Andre Roberts and let's call it a day.
Andre Roberts, there you go.
Who would be the core? Well, see, I know what you're going to say. Now you're going to say RG3. Let's talk about this then real quick. I know you've answered questions along these lines a million times over the last couple of years, but now do it for the million and first. Peyton versus RG3. I contend that RG3 and, you know, the guys who he came in with, Andrew Luck, Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, the rest, you know who they are now playing with a semi-stacked deck, which is to say that a lot of the older guys like Peyton and Brady are in their $20 million years, which then deprives the roster of depth. So in comparing all those guys and then the fact that those the RG3 and the younger guys haven't taken the physical beating yet that diminishes your ability to run around, what do you prefer? A stand-in-the-pocket kind of guy, the big guy like Peyton, or over the long haul, do you like the wrinkle of the QB who can run away from some pressure?
You always want your quarterback to stay in the pocket and be safe because, you know, that's where he's safer at, but, you know, I have had the ability to build both, so I've done well with both, and you know, I'm flexible with both. But you always want your quarterback in the pocket, safe, away from those hits, like we saw last year. I mean, was it 2 years ago? Forgetting how old I am now.
Do you say, though, to, like, RG3? Because I used to think it was hooey and applesauce, and now I do feel like that when people would say, well, RG3 just doesn't understand – you know, this supreme athlete, it seems silly to me to say, well, he doesn't understand when to get down so he can avoid the hit. But then I watch a guy like Colin Kaepernick who doesn't really seem to ever take direct shots, you know, some guy, and Mike Vick does and RG3 does, or at least did. Do you feel like RG3 can learn to do a better job, or is that just something that's just instinctive that you have or you don't?
Yeah, you can definitely learn. As you get older, the game slows down and you see more things and you protect yourself more. But, you know, it takes time for those things to happen. But you definitely can learn to protect yourself and slide. And, you know, always tell them to protect yourself. Whenever it's a running play or, you know, option plays that we ran a couple years back. But, you know, you always want them to be safe. But it takes time. Once you get older in the system, you learn it and you can really understand when it's the best time to protect yourself.
All right, last question for me is this one. Deshaun Jackson's very fast. Pierre Garçon's very fast. RG3 is very fast. Alfred Morris is okay fast. Let's say we put you guys all on the line. Tell me how the race goes. 50-yard dash. Who goes first? Who goes last?
Shoot. I don't know right now. You know, I'm always picking myself. So that doesn't matter. The next two, I don't know. It doesn't
You're
matter.
Picking it's yourself? You can't beat DeSean Jackson in a foot race, can you?
Hey, there's a lot of things people tell me I couldn't do.
All right. Well,
there was some big news last week with a couple of cornerbacks getting into a Twitter war. Patrick Peterson, Richard. Oh, look, he's laughing. Patrick Peterson,
giggling
Richard
Sherman. Even.
Now you can't pick yourself here, but which one of these cornerbacks is better?
Never got to play against Patrick Peterson, but I understand where he's coming from when defenses. Guys have help, but you know they're both good cornerbacks. But you know, defensive players.
Who would you not want to line up against?
Trust me, it doesn't matter who I line up against.
I love attitude. You know who's the opposite attitude though, Garcon? Is your teammate Alfred Morris. You say, well, of course I have to put myself on the all NFC East team, except I bet if we talked to Alfred Morris, he would say, oh, no. He's so modest, isn't he? Do you ever tell him, get a little swagger, fella?
No, Alfred is, you know, the kind of player you want. He's not going to talk, but he's always show up to play, and that's what we need. You know, some guys enjoy, you know, saying, you know, I put Alfred up there as the top running back in the NFL. So, you know, he doesn't need somebody to talk for him. You know, he's not going to come out and brag about himself. But, you know, Alfred is one of the top players on our team, one of the top players running backs in the NFL. And you can see by the way he plays, he breaks tackle, you know, he scores touchdowns and he gets the job done. So, you know, but he's never going to, like, really praise himself. But we know what he can do.
Well, listen, the only thing I think he's a great fella personally, and I think he's a great running back. The only thing he lacks is a white tie. Hopefully he'll get one, though, in front of June 5th. And again, it is Pierre Garcon's second annual all-white charity event. Tickets still available for the after party, and it benefits the Boys and Girls Clubs of Washington, D.C. Go to bgcgw.org for more on that. Pierre Garcon, I like your swagger, and I wish you the best of health and the best of the season in 2014. Hopefully we can kibitz with you later on.
No problem. I appreciate it, guys.
Boy, I couldn't bring myself to tell him that he didn't make the all NFC East team.
I think he might. Won. Okay, yeah. He would have been offended, and it would have ended weird.
Yeah, I didn't want that. I didn't want that. Nice fella. And check out his fine charity event coming up in D.C. And Rank, we're going to do another show this week. And what division do you want to do there, Black Tie? Do we have a guest lined up?
Not yet. We'll do it based on our guests.
Okay, so we have a player, someone relevant to one of the divisions, and we'll do it based on that. Otherwise, we'll figure it out.
More top 100 analysis, though.
I say we do next the AFC East.
We'll see. Maybe we'll get an AFC East guest.
Oh, yeah, and we'll review the top 100 show. Handsome mentioned it earlier in the show. Some interesting names showing up on Wednesday night's showing. All right, well, listen, we'll see how that shakes out. But in the meantime, thanks to Pierre Garcon, to Handsome Hank. Yes, Black Tie?
As always, guys, hashtag DDFP. Chime in with your thoughts. You know, contribute to the show as you may please, and we'll get it on the show.
And Black Tie, people, as expected, people were not flattered by you saying
they
that
were
they
not flattered. But guess what we got?
Enough.
We got a Tumblr blog casting a DDFP movie. I think it worked out well.
Oh yeah, who did that one? Why don't you
that
give
was
a
Alex,
shout out to
Alex Sinclair? I did earlier. Yeah, Alex Sinclair. He did great work with the DDFP. Let me read out the URL here. DDFPthemovie.tumblr.com. Check it out.
Okay,
he had
cool.
me cast as Anthony Mackie. I'm not feeling that. I was
Why
about,
not? I thought that was pretty good.
Hey, he's solid. I was thinking more Michael B. Jordan, but you know. It's
I'm surprised you
they,
didn't.
There
pick...
goes that Jordan name again.
I'm surprised Showing you didn't up. Float out the most handsome possible name out there, but I don't know. I don't know who that would be. I don't know. Who do you fancy?
No,
Denzel?
I think if I was an actor, I think me and Michael B. would be up for the same roles.
Is that right?
That's how I see it.
I like that. All right. Well, listen, we'll be back with more Hoogie and Applesauce later on. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.